Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us again on Defining the Dash podcast. I'm Brother Chad Clifton, and I am honored and privileged today to be sitting here with one of my friends and another one of our heroes, Brother David Trawick, who is a missionary to Honduras on the Roatan Island. And I'm excited to get into this interview today. Brother David, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to be with us today.
You're very welcome. Thank you, Brother Chad, for inviting me to come, and looking forward to seeing what God does in the lives of these young folks.
And I do want to say, if you were to have any problems here in the audio, we have been traveling. We're in Tennessee and having to record this on the cell phone. So please forgive us for any audio issues we may have today, but this was just a great opportunity that worked out for us to be able to be together and share some of this story. So going ahead and getting started here, Brother David, I would like to ask you to share a little bit of your testimony, maybe growing up and how you became saved and the churches you went to growing up, or if you did, and any of your backstory that you'd like to share with us today.
Well, both my parents raised me in church, in the house of God. Both of my parents were actually first-generation Christians. Their families were not churched people, but they came to know the Lord, and they raised me in the house of God, made sure that I and my sisters had the opportunity to be in church. In fact, it wasn't just having an opportunity. You went whether you wanted to or not. My mama believed if the church doors were open, you'd better be there.
Yeah.
So growing up in a church that was Pentecostal, that believed in the moving of the Spirit and enjoyed the manifestation of the Spirit, I saw things as a kid that intrigued me, and I remember giving my heart to the Lord at an early age. I don't really recall exactly the age that I was, but I was young. And so our church had a program called Bible Quiz. And we would do junior Bible Quiz when we were younger, and then it became teen Bible Quiz. And that gave me a great interest for the things of the Word of God. And I'm thankful for that. Thankful for my pastor growing up, Brother E.W. Hancock. He's gone on to be with the Lord, but he was a man that loved leading people to know Jesus in a better way. And I'm thankful for that. And the influences of others in my life. I went to a Christian school in Falk, Arkansas called Fairland. Fairland Holiness Church had Fairland Christian School back in the day. And I went to their school, and I'm thankful for the influences that were in my life there. I was filled with the Holy Ghost as a young man, Brother A.T. Gallette. Most of the young folks today wouldn't know him, but maybe some folks would from older people. But Brother A.T. Gallette was a great evangelist, and he came by, preached a revival, and had everybody line up that wanted the Holy Ghost. And as he walked down the aisle praying for people to get filled with the Holy Ghost, instantaneously the Lord filled me with the evidence of speaking in an unknown language. Wow. And I thank God for that. Growing up, our church had contact with Ozark Bible Institute. And when I was 17 years old, I graduated high school and moved to Neosho, Missouri, and went to the Bible school there. Through a course of events, I also attended a semester at Free Gospel Bible Institute in the 80s as well. So thank God for that opportunity. After I left Bible school, some things had gone on in my childhood. My parents had divorced. It was a bitter divorce, and there was a lot of animosity, and bitterness took root in my heart. And unfortunately, to my shame, I say I got away from God even after my Bible school years, and lived in sin for a while, had a friend that didn't want me to go to hell, so he sought after me, and I was able to give my heart back to the Lord, and I'm thankful for that. Moved around a little bit there in those early 20s, and then settled in Texas, met my wife, and we married and worked in a Christian school for 2 years, and then moved out to East Texas and pastored a church. We were there 3 years and went to Arkansas, and we pastored a church there. From there, we went into mission ministry. So that's pretty much my life story.
Wow. It definitely sounds like a lot going on.
There's a whole lot more to the backstory than that, but that's the cliff notes.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was great. I also wanted to say that we do have our co-host today. Brother Mark is not with us. He wasn't able to be here while we're down here at the Pentecostal Youth Fire Conference, or Pentecostal Fire Youth Conference, I'm sorry. And so our co-host today is our famous research and development guy, Brother Luke Horn. Brother Luke, it's also great to have you with us.
Yeah, it's good to be here, Brother Chad. Happy to have the opportunity.
I'm glad to have you out of the lab today to have you here. But Brother Trawick, you talked a little bit there about your history, your backstory, your testimony, and where you went to church. Do you recall about what age it was when you were called to preach? I know you talked about pastoring there a little bit and stuff, but
yes, I was 12 years old and at youth camp. Wow. Went to a youth camp, felt God really deal with my heart. And then the next year, when I turned 13, I felt like God gave me a call to preach. And at that point, I really wasn't sure the direction that God would take me, but I knew that He had called me to preach. I told my pastor about it and immediately got put to work, not in preaching, not in the pulpit, but in cleaning, mowing the churchyard,
yes,
and other things. So He gave me a good training to be able to learn to serve so that I could become a good preacher of the gospel in the right way.
That is awesome. That's important to know. I mean, I love when people talk about kind of how they're trained up in a way, and a lot of times when people are coming into a position, they almost want to start at the top. But you know, there's other work to be done even before the pulpit, you know, and having a servant's heart is so important in any type of ministry that you do.
And yes, sir. My dad was a United States Marine, and one thing he believed in was chain of command.
Yes.
And I learned growing up to follow that chain of command.
Yes,
and
sir.
I feel like the pastor is the man who leads the flock, and I needed to learn from him. So I'm very thankful for the opportunities those in my life who have given me those chances to serve under them and learn from them.
Yes.
And I appreciate that.
That is great. Now, how did you know, or even when did you really know that God was calling you away from the United States and calling you out to the missions fields to, what was Roatan, or Roatan? I'm hillbilly, so you'll have to forgive me if I mispronounce it, brother.
You do.
How is it that you pronounce?
Roatan.
Okay, I'm going to go back to how I was doing. So,
most gringos say Roatan.
Yeah.
But it should be Roatan.
Roatan. Okay. I can do that if I don't forget. Roatan.
Roatan.
Roatan. I cannot roll it like he did, but Roatan. So Roatan Island, you know, when was it you felt the call to really go down there? And
well, during my middle school years, I had a teacher whose name was Mr. Barnes.
Uh-huh.
And Mr. Barnes taught the history, math, and sciences of that class. And then there was another teacher did the English and language arts, etc. But I remember going into Mr. Barnes's class, and he had a habit of reading the Texarkana Gazette every morning. That was the local newspaper where I grew up. I grew up in Texarkana, right, Texas and Arkansas. And Mr. Barnes would read headlines from the Texarkana Gazette. He would allow the girls to pick one headline, the boys could pick a headline, and then he would pick a headline. And the girls always want to know about a movie star, some starlet, singer, or something like that. And us fellas, we wanted to hear about the latest losing streak of the Dallas Cowboys.
Right.
Mr. Barnes would then read an article that would take his students outside the four states area of Texas, Arkansas, Oklahoma, and Louisiana. He would spread our imagination and understanding of world things, even though we were stuck right there in just a little place. One day, Mr. Barnes read an article about street children in Brazil. Now, my dad was a Marine. We had a little bit bigger family. We didn't have a lot of money.
Right.
But I never had need for food.
Sure.
I always had what I wanted. You know, maybe not, you know, Hershey bars every day.
Right.
But I could get a Hershey bar.
Right.
I didn't go hungry. I had cereal to eat in the morning, oatmeal, whatever, grits. You know, I was set. Everything was good. But when he read about street children, those two words to me were incongruous. How do they go in the same sentence, much less be labeled upon a single individual? And so that really got a hold of my heart, hearing about kids foraging for food, yeah, living under stairwells, living under bridges. And so I'd been called to preach. And when he read that article, I began to ask the Lord to allow me to be a missionary.
Okay.
It struck my heart that there were children. There were children that needed someone to love them.
Yes.
Someone to provide for them. And so at an early age, I started praying, God, please let me be a missionary. We had a missionary come to our church who was from Ecuador. And boy, I jumped on it. I told my mom, I said, Mom, I'm called to Ecuador. I'm going to go help that brother in Ecuador.
Yes.
And so I started reading about Ecuador, and we were big library people. We'd go to the library, and I'd get the encyclopedia down and read about Ecuador. And then we had another missionary come, and he was a missionary to Asian people in the Philippines.
Oh,
and I said, Mom, I'm called to the Philippines. She said, what happened to Ecuador? I said, I don't know, but what, did you hear that guy? And I started reading about the Philippines. And it just seemed like every time a new missionary would come, I'd feel called to wherever they were. Well, I ended up getting married, and my wife and I were sitting in the service, and Brother Royce Roy came by, and he was a missionary in Sierra Leone, Africa. She looked at me and said, don't even think about it. But we had felt God deal with us about Spanish-speaking people, and so we knew that's where God was going to lead. But it all started with a teacher reading an article from a local newspaper.
Wow.
About children living on the street. It just got a hold of my heart, and I've loved kids ever since and tried to be a missionary to children.
That is wonderful, wonderful.
This kind of blows my mind, Brother Trawick, if you don't mind my jumping in here.
Absolutely.
You said that you got a passion for mission work perhaps before you really felt the call to do it, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know that you're right. At that point, I did not have what I would call or what I would label a divine calling.
Right.
But I had a desire for it.
Yeah.
I knew I was called of God to preach his gospel.
Right.
But he hadn't said
go
missionary.
Yeah.
He hadn't said pastor. He hadn't said evangelist. But I was asking him to let me be an evangelist. Now, that brings up another point.
That's awesome.
I started out working in Christian school. My wife and I worked in Christian education. The most thankless job there is.
Absolutely.
In the world.
I agree.
But that's a whole another episode right there. But as we started working in Christian education, we both were praying that God would let us be missionaries. The Lord led us to East Texas, where I started pastoring the first church. In that church, there were a couple little Hispanic children, and they had Hispanic neighbors. They brought their neighbors to church, and you know, we were praying, Lord, let us be missionaries. Then in the course of events, God moved me to Arkansas, and in that church, there were 6 adult Mexican men. And so I got a Sunday school book, and I'd taken Spanish in high school, and I knew the phonetics of Spanish,
right,
but I didn't really know what I was saying.
Right.
I could read it phonetically, and they could understand what I was saying, but I didn't know what I was saying.
Right.
And so I was praying, asking God to let me be a missionary. And one day in my office, I was asking the Lord to, you know, Lord, please, I want to be a missionary so bad. Will you please, please, oh God. And I felt like the Lord smote my heart and said, David, I've called you to pastor this church. You're here as the pastor of this church. And I said, Lord, okay, I'll be a pastor. If that's what you want, I will be a pastor. But I'm going to be the best missionary supporting pastor there ever was.
Right.
And y'all know what? When I submitted my desire to the Lord and came under his will, do you know what the Lord said? David, I want you to be a missionary.
Yeah.
And I don't think that God treats us like a marionette puppet on strings and makes us wiggle our foot or nod our head by pulling a string. But I think what God wants is our heart.
Absolutely.
And when I finally gave God my heart, He gave me the desire
of your heart.
Of my heart.
Yes, he did. Wow. That is such a powerful point that that you're talking about there, because it goes along with being content with what you're being called into to start with. It has to do with obedience.
Service where you are.
Yeah, serving where you are.
Submission to the will of God.
And that's such a powerful point because, totally submitting to something is hard for us to do. We like to be in control, but, so being like you had such a strong desire. You knew, you kind of felt from a young age, hey, this is what I really want to do. I want to do this. And then God rewarding you with that desire. Yes.
And I love it.
Yeah. I can tell every time I talk to you the love that you have for it. I mean, I really can. It glows from you.
I want to jump in here and say before we had this conversation and Brother Chad told me that we were going to get to speak with you, Brother. Probably the first thing I thought of that I would say about you is, from my first memory of you coming to speak at our church, I did not hear we're just making it through,
Yes.
We're trying. Barely making it through. I heard a man that was having a blast doing something he loved, working for the Lord. And I really appreciate the victory that you have and that you've shared with other people. I think it's very inspirational, and I appreciate that.
Yes. Yeah. I think his first visit always stood out in my mind because the way he like you said, he went about it. And it was I hope I say this right, because I'm not degrading anybody whatsoever. But it wasn't like a come begging for money, I'm begging you for your support. It wasn't nothing like that. It was this is what God is doing, and I'm going to leave y'all some information for it. And
we'd love for you to be a part of it.
How God leads you, And man, I was like, at that moment, I was like, we need to support this guy. And so I went to Brother Webb, and I'm like, Brother Webb, what are you thinking? And he's like, I think we need to support this guy. I was like, that's what I'm thinking. And it was like,
and y'all been faithful ever since.
And it's
thank the Lord.
But it is an honor. My heart has always been for children, and me and my wife, we've been very involved with the kids at the school and the kids at the church. And I'm like you. If I had heard a story of a child starving, I couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
And there are so many times I see pictures of kids online and even going through foster care and all these things. And me and my wife will look at each other and we're like, let's go get them. They need somebody to love them. And, we can love them, but there's not a love like God's love.
Right.
And if they can feel that love of God.
Through us.
Through us.
Exactly.
If they can be introduced to that. We can feed them. We can put food in their stomach, but it's Him that brings peace and the comfort that they need. And to be able to be a part of that and to introduce them to Him, it's such a great honor, a privilege, and a reward. And I know you sacrifice a lot to do what you do. And so thank you for that, brother.
Yes, sir.
We appreciate you for that. And I know the rewards, though, are great. In what you do, and your rewards will be great in eternity for what you do. So what other countries have you been to? Have you visited other countries?
Yes.
Besides Honduras?
We lived 7 years in Mexico. We've been to Guatemala, Nicaragua, El Salvador, Panama, of course, Honduras, where we live now, the Dominican Republic. I have traveled to Equatorial Guinea, West Africa, which is the only Spanish-speaking country in Africa. And then I've also been to a place called the Gambia, which is an English-speaking African country. Of course, they have a lot of dialects in a lot of these countries as well. But off the top of my head, that's ones I can remember that I have preached in.
Right. That's amazing. We, so many times, especially being from small local churches, our focus seems like the furthest it can go is our community.
Yeah. Brother Chad, I want to say too, I was raised small.
Yeah.
I was raised in a small area. It was a small church.
Uh-huh.
I didn't have a lot of travel growing up and that sort of thing. And so it doesn't matter if your parents were world travelers.
Right.
You can travel the world. But if your parents weren't.
Right.
You can preach the gospel wherever God will take you. And so that's, you know, I don't want people to think that, oh, Brother Trawick did that because, no, I did it because God did it. And God's taken me where He has, and it's been His for His glory and to my enjoyment.
Absolutely, absolutely, and that's what that's an awesome point, because we never know where God's going to lead us, and we, you know, as a young person that could be potentially listening to this episode, you really have no idea what God can do with your life.
You really don't, and sometimes we get to, as a young person. Mm-hmm. We feel stuck.
Right, yes.
And we have the desire to do more, but we feel stuck. And we think, because we're so time conscious, especially as a young person, time seems to crawl.
Yes.
And we think, well, I'm going to be here forever.
Yeah.
But with surrender and obedience to God, you can do anything for Him.
Sir. Yes, sir. He is all powerful. And I always, always try to tell them, like on the podcast in Sunday school class, God did so much with so little all throughout the Bible. And if we feel like we're offering Him a little, I mean, if we're giving our life and we're saying to Him, Lord, all I am is a little bit, but it's what I have is completely yours.
That's it.
Then He can do a great work with it.
Yes,
and,
sir.
I'm thoroughly enjoying this, and I can tell by the look on Brother Luke's face that he's enjoying it. This is going great. So if nobody else gets any of this,
we've had a great time.
This has been great just for us. And so let me ask you this. Now, one thing, and I told you a little bit of this before. In my Sunday school class, I teach 10 to 13 year olds, and you know that's a
tough age.
It's a tough age. It's a pivotal point in their life,
right?
Because usually in that age, they're saying, "Hey, I'm getting this experience," or "Hey, as soon as I turn 18, I'm out of here."
Right.
You know, and so we try to push at that point. You know, you need to develop a prayer life of your own. Now, what do you think? What benefits do you think it gives a young person to have a dedicated prayer life?
Well, a lot of young people at that point in their life, they start thinking about their future. And everybody wants to be successful.
Absolutely, yes, sir.
Everybody would like to succeed at their goals.
Yes.
Earning income, you know, our family, et cetera. And one thing about learning a good prayer life and practicing a good prayer life as a teenager is it develops discipline.
Yes.
And discipline doesn't only keep us in our prayer closet, but discipline helps us in every avenue and aspect of life.
Yes.
So the job I take, if I have learned to be disciplined in my prayer life, I'm going to be disciplined in my research, in my understanding of my job, in my application of my job, in my presentation of my job. And when I'm successful in those areas, it brings other avenues for me to pursue. So I feel like if we can learn early to be disciplined in our prayer life, it leads to other areas of discipline, which give us great success. And then I also feel like the spiritual strength that comes from an early prayer life is what can help us make it in life, because we're going to be, the scripture lets us know, we are going to be attacked on every side.
Yes.
The enemy desires to destroy our soul from every avenue. And if we learn a disciplined prayer life, we can gain strength from that so we can resist the enemy. And then the Bible says he flees from us.
Yes, he does.
So I think that that's two things that are resultant of a good prayer life is discipline and inner spiritual strength that comes from God.
Absolutely. And prayer really is one of the simplest things we can do. As far as, you know, it's not complicated to do.
Well, it looks like it's going to wrap up this week's episode here at the Finding the Dash podcast. Once again, we'd like to thank our missionary brother, David Trewick, for being with us. He is a missionary to Honduras. We will link his contact information in the description. That way, if you would like to contact him or maybe you'd like to help somehow support his ministry, you'll be able to get that information there. He will also be sharing it later on in the episodes. We will probably be straight. This will probably be a 3-week series discussing here with Brother Trewick. And so be sure to tune back in for the next few weeks so you can hear all of his testimony and the miracles that that God is doing in Honduras for Brother Trewick. And as always, we want to thank you for listening. And may God bless you, and let's always remember to make it count. God bless you, and we'll see you next week. When I win this war, I've got a church and a family.